With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, who amongst us had the Sabres blowing out the Canadiens opening night 5-1? Joe, who could have predicted that? It's our buddy Joe Yurden, our favorite noted jerk covering the Buffalo Sabres. Joe, how have you been?
Pretty well. Much better now that we got a winning hockey team in town, right?
Yeah. Can we just end the season right here? We'll all feel pretty good about ourselves because it's all downhill from here, I'm sure, Joe. What happened last night? I mean, like in layman's terms, was this just a Sabre team that it's hockey? Sometimes these things happen?
I think it's partially, yeah, it's hockey. These things happen. It's also Montreal without Carey Price playing their number three goaltender and Sam Montembeau. It's Montreal without Shea Weber. It's Montreal having played last night. It's Buffalo taking advantage of every single bit of that. So that's what teams are supposed to do in the NHL. And it was nice to see Buffalo take full advantage of that for once, instead of just being like, oh, geez, it's the team that was in the finals last year. We gotta look out for them. And no, the team that played last night got beat. And let's take advantage of it.
Well, it's great to see him get the win, and it's great that there's a little bit of enthusiasm. And I know that the crowd was a little sparse, but you also had a lot of enthusiasm there in the arena, and you saw it from guys who are more the veteran guys. You saw Pozo step up. You saw Zemgus stand up, but, you know, and the power play goals. I mean, Joe, I mean, we all kind of know that isn't really sustainable over the course of an 82-game season, is it?
No. It made me think back to a couple of years ago when the Sabres got off to a hot start. I think it was 2019-20 season, and they got off to a hot start. Carter Hutton was lights out, and the power play was scoring at about a 40 or 45% rate. So, you know, take everything as it comes. Teams are, you know, figuring out their stuff and finding their way yet. But I look at this right now. I mean, Sabres play very well. I don't want to take anything away from them. I don't want to just say, like, oh, Montreal was totally junk. But, I mean, they played like crap, too. But, like, but Buffalo played well. They played a smart game. They played a very heads-up game. They played a speedy, skilled style game. So that's all you can really ask for out of this group. Just have them play steady, you know, good hockey. Stick to what they're good at and go from there. And you do that more often than not, you're going to have success usually. So, you know, especially in a game like that with that kind of situation, yeah, worked out pretty perfect. But take advantage of things while you can, because it's only going to get harder from here.
Sabres writer Joe Yurden, our guest here in the sports bar, as Buffalo home tomorrow against Arizona. About those veterans, Joe, I mean, well, we were talking about the roster turnover when you go to opening night last year to opening night this season, and we, you know, Opozo and Skinner and Gergensen. Any of these guys, what would be the best candidate to have kind of a rebirth, would you say? Like, give me a reason for optimism that one of these guys, whether that's Skinner, whether that's somebody else, who might that guy be?
I always want to point to Skinner just because we've seen it from him in the past, not just in Buffalo, but, you know, in Carolina as well. I think with Don in charge, he knows the best ways to get these guys into their best positions, into the spots that are going to lean into their strengths the best. And I really like the way Skinner played last night. I you know, he was kind of darting in and out of the zone or in and out of the slot area, you know, spinning around the net, just, you know, being in dangerous spots all around in the offensive zone. Like, that's what you need him to do. And he was taking advantage of you know, the good forecheck they had going, you know, grabbing a couple of, you know, stealing the puck a couple of times and just running off with it. So I like the way, I mean, you know, listen, it's going to be hard for him. Like, let's not get it, you know, misconstrued. It's going to be tough without, you know, elite setup guys and elite skill guys to be on a line with him. But not like he's skating with total bums here. I mean, Casey Mittelstadt, unfortunately, going to be out for a couple weeks here. But, you know, Mittelstadt is that kind of guy. Dylan Cousins, he's going to be skating with tomorrow, most likely, is that kind of guy. And, you know, you get Vinny Hinostroza on that line. He's your kind of lunch pail dude there. And he's got skill, too. So, you know, I think there's stuff there for Skinner to be able to bounce back. But, I mean, listen, Gergensen's and Oposo, they're doing the job that they did like a couple of years ago when they were, you could argue they were legitimately Buffalo's most useful line. And that's even with Jack and Sam and those guys. I mean, that kind of play from them is what you need from a line like that. And geez, Kyle looked about 10 years younger last night. It was great.
Joe, you touched on the injury to Mittelstadt and the potential of Cousins stepping into that role on the first line at center. What do we know about Mittelstadt's injury? How long he's going to be out? And also with Henry Jokiariu, who left the game early last night as well.
Yeah, Casey, that's such a bummer. It's an upper body injury. I went back and watched some of the videos just to try to catch where it may have happened. I didn't really see anything. It wasn't like a, you know, brutal hit or something that happened. Maybe it happened away from the camera view, but I didn't notice what had happened to him. Maybe the folks at MSU will be able to give you a better example, but I wasn't able to notice. It's so unfortunate because he was, you know, this is a spot where, you know, he was drafted to kind of be in this role eventually. You know, we all thought he was going to be kind of stonewalled from doing it because Jack was going to be here, and, you know, that's how those things go. And, you know, now it's a different spot for him to be in. But like I said, with Granato, he's able to do things with these guys to get him in place to succeed. And I think for Casey, it's such a bummer because he had a good camp. He played well in the preseason. And I mean, it's his opportunity. This is his chance to really show what he can do. And to get interrupted like this early in the season and have to miss a couple of weeks just stinks. Like, that's tough. And you know what? The way the schedule sets up over the next week or two, the opponents aren't quite as difficult, so it would have been a good way to get some confidence going as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Beginning with Arizona tomorrow afternoon at the arena. Joe, you're in our guest here in the sports bar. So who then fills that role as a center? Or do the Sabres actually, here's an option, J.J. Paterka. I was a little, should I have been surprised that he got sent to the Amerks, Joe?
No, I think if it was a year from now, it would be a shock because the way he played like a guy who could stay. But you know what? It's his first year here. You know, you can take a little bit of time with him and give him some AHL games and get him used to that grind and that pace, and you know, get a good enough feel to see how it goes. Because if he has a lot of success right away in Rochester, boy, oh boy, he won't be down there very long. I'm sorry to say, Amherst fans, but like if he's able to take off, I mean, there's no reason to just. I mean, there is a reason to keep developing him, but if you can use him at the NHL level and he can have success there, why not do it? You know, if you think he can hack it at the NHL level and have success, do it. You know, there's no reason other than development and trying to slow things down to not do it. And you know, they've stressed development since Kevin Adams took over. So I mean, I could see it being that Paterka just, you know, hangs out down there most of the year, and that's just how it's going to go. But I don't know, man. He played awfully well. It's easy to get faked out by the preseason. It's happened literally every preseason. There's always a guy that stands out, and you're like, wow, this guy's got to stay. And then, you know, they stick around, and then 2 weeks in, you're like, oh, yeah, they got to go. They got to go back down. That's enough. So patience is what they can have with him. He's young. He's so young. And there's no need to rush him, but man, if he blows up so much in Rochester, give him a shot, because there's no better time to try it out. Because I don't know that there's anybody in Buffalo that can really, you can argue and say like, no, they have to keep him in Roch because this guy's is good enough to keep him out.
Joe, I watched the game last night. Let's go ahead and file this under the team is always bigger than any sum of its parts. I didn't really even think about Jack once. during the game last night. It was refreshing to watch the game because we haven't had it for so long, and to see them playing that the way they played. What do we know? What is the latest on Jack? We're not going to hear, I don't think, anything from the organization. We certainly didn't hear anything during the broadcast. It's almost as if they've wiped him from memory. Do we know, there were some rumblings a couple of weeks ago from some NHL insiders. Anything new on the Jack Eichel front?
Well, I think Emily Kaplan reported yesterday on ESPN that there are four or five teams that are in the mix with Jack. And apparently, according to her, the Sabres were very close to moving him last week. The things had heated up to a point last Thursday that they felt like it was imminent, and then everything went dead on Friday. So you try to read the tea leaves when it comes to this stuff and figure out what's going on. And it's impossible with this because we've all been trying to do this for months and trying to figure out the process and guess on when this is going to go down. And it's like I keep telling people, I've been wrong about when he's going to be traded by for, four times. You're not going to get me to say it again and say like, oh, he's going to be gone by X date. Like that. I ain't doing that. But the good news is that it sounds like there are at least four or five teams, probably at most four or five teams that are willing to let Jack do the surgery that he wants, and they'll make that move. Now the question is, can they meet the price? And has Kevin Adams adjusted that price? In my mind, Adams has to adjust the price because it's a brutal neck injury, and they're not going to be able to play Jack for 3 months. You can't be asking for four first round worthy type pieces in a deal. I think you have to make some kind of a concession. Now, obviously, you don't want to pull it all apart and take 30 cents on the dollar, but I think you have to come off that price just a tad to be able to make this work. And people say it's a harder trade to make in season. I disagree. I disagree because Jack's already on IR, and if you trade him, he's still going to be on IR. And if he's going to a team that's got cap issues, well, he's on LTIR. Then congrats, deal's done. I don't sweat that out too much. But in my mind, I don't think the teams have changed all that much. I still think Anaheim's involved. I still think Vegas is involved. And my pal Chad DeDemonis has said that he believes Calgary's involved. So these are interesting places. And you know what? For the Sabres' sake, they're all in the Western Conference. So I think that's all the better for them.
Yeah, I at this point, and Joe, so pretty much it's a team that Buffalo's going to trade them. That team that is trading for him has said, we're fine getting that surgery. And if that's the case, you want the surgery to happen, I guess, yesterday. So if the surgery, like what would be the timeline for the recovery of that? Would Jack actually be ready for the Stanley Cup run with his new team there? Would he be back in time?
I believe so. I think with the artificial disc replacement, I think they said 3 months is the amount of time. And, the fusion surgery is a bit of a, I think that's a bit longer of a timeline. But that's why I think something could happen sooner than not, because we know Jack wants to play in the Olympics. He's yet to play in the Olympics. He wants to represent the United States. And if you think he wouldn't make the team, well, then I don't know what to tell you there. He would absolutely be on the team. But he's got to play before that. He's got to play. He's got to show that he's good to go and he's ready to play. If he gets that surgery now, a 3 month timeline pushes him into, he could be skating and doing everything in January. And then the team's going to get, I think they want to have the team picked by like Christmas time or around then, but I'm sure they could find a way. Like they could leave a spot open for him just in case. And if he's not ready, you can certainly pick somebody else. I don't think you have to worry about filling a spot on the Olympic team for anybody. But if Jack's ready to go and he wants to be, I think that trade has to happen, by the end of October, I think, just because, if the Sabres certainly aren't going to let him get the surgery. And if he, as soon as he gets traded, I mean, he's probably going to be sitting on the gurney waiting to go in. He's going to be on the operating table like, trade's done. All right, boys, let's get started. But that's where I sit with that. Like if he's going to get traded and if he's going to play this season, he's got to get traded soon. And because he wants to play in the Olympics.
Joe, You had the chance to cover this team throughout the preseason. I'm curious about the battle for goaltending with this team. And we saw Anderson last night, and we know Tokarski is number two. We got UPL here, at least for the start of the season in Rochester. How did the goaltenders look to your eyes through the course of the preseason? And how do you see this projecting out here over the course of this upcoming season for the Sabres?
Well, we didn't see a ton of Craig Anderson, which I don't think you needed to. I mean, if you don't know what he's about and you don't know what he's capable of, then, you know, I don't know why you would sign him in the first place. But you know what he can do, and he played great last night, that's for sure. But that's what he can, that's his kind of game. Like, that's how he plays. He's a steady vet. You know what he's capable of, and he'll be able to hold it down. The battle, when I saw it, as soon as UPL had a tough camp. I won't dance around that. He had a tough camp. But that's fine. You can have a tough camp. He can go to Roch and get games. He needs games more than anything. So I'm not too worried about him. Let's see how he performs getting a lot of games for the Amherst first. But the battle between Tokarski and Dell didn't play very well. And I didn't mean to rhyme that. I'm very sorry. But but Tokarski played strong, and he earned that backup spot. And we kind of know what he's about. We saw him last year. I do think the backup spot is a little bit weak right now at the Buffalo level. I don't mean to put down Tokarski, but I just, look around the league. I don't really, I'm not feeling that great about it. So I think there's pretty steady pressure on Craig Anderson to kind of hold things down for a while. And, hopefully UPL can get it together and get those games and get stronger in Rochester so he can eventually go to Buffalo. But I wouldn't want to step on the gas with him. I just want to get him right, because I think he's only played about 29 games between Rochester and Buffalo in the last 2-3 years. So he needs games. He needs games more than anything. So goaltending is definitely going to be a weak point. But if Anderson can play like that, like he did last night, for more often than not, I think we'll do okay. Like that, you don't have to worry about it for a little bit anyways.
Joe Urin will have a new source for his content. We'll tell you about that in a little bit. Our guest here in the Sports Bar covering the Buffalo Sabres in the National Hockey League. Joe, the business side of the Sabres here, we knew it wasn't going to be good last night. And, who knows how many people were actually there. And I'd have to think there's actually going to be less people against Arizona. Here's my sense. I think everybody here in Western Europe kind of understands. Nobody is really kind of setting the alarms. Are there alarms around the league when you look at attendance here, sellout, attendance, big, and then 8,000 here in Buffalo? Are we in Western New York going to get a mulligan for not turning out for this team, or will not turning out for this team potentially turn around and bite us in the ass?
Well, I think what happens here is that this kind of turnout by the fans, it would earn Kim Pegula, as the president of the team, an appointment with Principal Gary Benton, because this is on them. That the turnout last night and how things have gone, for basically since 2013. Basically once Darcy said there was going to be some suffering from that point on, this was really in their hands, and they've, it's been fumbled this whole way. That's inarguable. I do not blame the fans one bit. There is zero fault to be on the fan side in this, because it's been a mess. And I think if they thought they were going to have a packed house for opening night, they were fooling themselves, because the fans are fed up. Fans are done with dealing with this kind of stuff, and it's cost a ton of money. Like, let's not get it wrong. And they ended up announcing the attendance, I think it was 8,600 for opening night. Like, that's bad, man. That's really bad. It's kind of coincidental that the Coyotes are here for game two, because that's the kind of stuff you'd see in Glendale for Coyotes game. Well, that's not good either, because, the Coyotes are getting kicked out of their arena. So that's,
Joe,
that's where things are there. But
RIT is going to outdraw the Sabres tomorrow night. I'm telling you, for that game in the Brick City tomorrow night, they'll put 10,000 in Blue Cross Arena. That should, you're comparing things here. And again, I'm agree with you. I don't fault Sabre fans here for not coming, but maybe this turns around when the border opens up, perhaps. I just don't. I don't see the situation improving, Joe, and I think this is a storyline that's just going to be going on and on, because if I'm putting my money towards something important, you know, in Western, I'm putting it to the Buffalo Bills. Like, if I want to go spend money on a game, let me go pay a little bit more to watch the team that maybe wins the Super Bowl for the first time.
Yeah, and I think that kind of focus is kind of the problem, too, with the Sabres. Because by all appearances, it sure seems like the ownership is putting all their attention, all their focus on the football team, and they just kind of, left the Sabres kind of sitting on the sidelines and saying, like, hey, listen, we'll get to you. Like, don't worry about it, guys. We'll get there. But you're right. When the border opens up in November, I'll be very curious to see if the attendance improves or not, or if the Canadian fans that they have here are just going to be like, you know what? Nah, it's not worth the hassle.
It's an interesting time for sure, Joe, and we're very lucky to have you along for the ride. I want to make sure you have time here at the end to let our audience know where they can get more of your work here, not just on last night's game, but throughout the course of the regular season here.
Yeah, I've just started up a new news site for myself. It's on Substack. I've called it Noted Hockey. gotta lean into stuff here, man. It's all about branding.
Yep.
So, notedhockey.substack.com is where you can find it. And just kicked it off yesterday. And I'll be doing a lot of stuff there. Won't be very beat heavy, but lots of observation, lots of column, lots of my opinion. So if you hate my opinions, come and read it and get angry. If you love my opinions, come read them and support me. That's the best part.
Joe, honestly, I don't know, and I would imagine there's others listening. No, where does the noted jerk thing come from?
Funny enough. It's great because it came from Arizona Coyotes fans back when I was writing for Pro Hockey Talk on NBC, and it was during their initial saga of, are they moving or is the team getting relocated, all that stuff, like 2010, 2011, 2012, and a lot of the stories ended up happening while I was on duty writing about the stuff coming up with the Glendale City Council and all this junk about the team possibly moving. And Coyotes fans, there are Coyotes fans. Don't get it confused, because I could point them out by name on Twitter because I remember who they are. But they were on my case all the time, yelling about it. One of the fans, called myself, Tony Gallagher in Vancouver, Greg Wyshynski, the noted jerks of hockey. Somebody had started calling me a noted jerk already, and Greg very, very quickly said, No, noted jerk is Joe over there.
I love it.
kind of went from there, and it kind of stuck. So I just leaned into it. I was like, whatever, man. Call me whatever you want. I don't care.
And now you've got on brand, notedhockey.com. I love it. It's great. Joe, it's great hearing your voice. Thank you so much for the insight. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely, guys. Always fun to talk to you.
Thanks, Joe. Enjoy your weekend. Joe Yurden. I love that. I love this, the backstory. I love that Joe is doing his thing now. Notedhockey.substack.com if you want more Joe Yurden content on the Buffalo Sabres. He's one of our favorites here in the sports bar. Noted jerk. And Wyshynski got lumped into it as well. Now, he's another guy that we have on often with us.
Boy, they should beat Arizona. I'm thinking 2-0 danger. I'm getting excited.
I know.
Wow.
I know. And just an observation while we were talking with Joe, and I don't know if you caught this. I mean, if you haven't noticed, since the start of the NHL season, every afternoon ESPN now runs a show called The Point. I think it's a half an hour show. Maybe it's an hour show.
It's great. It's like what they were doing for the NBA, but now they're doing it for hockey.
Right. They did The Jump for the NBA, and I know that The Jump is coming back when the NBA season starts as well, but the fact that they've got a show, and it's Buccigross hosting, and it's Emily Kaplan, and it's Torts today. And look, this is what the NHL has been missing. I mean, they just did a piece on one of Torts' goalies from last year and the struggles that he went through. And I'm watching it out of the corner of my eye, and I'm not really paying attention to who specifically it was, but it was clearly somebody that was very important to Torts, because when the piece was done, they showed Torts breaking down. Torts shedding a tear.
Oh, I missed
on the
that.
Set
really?
Of The Point. And I'm like, wow, if you're a hockey fan, to see Torts vulnerable, to see Torts let his guard down, to see these characters that we've kind of like watched for years and years and years and see different sides of them, that's compelling. That's compelling content, and it's good for the game, and it's good for the sport, and thank God that ESPN is fully embracing their new role now, their new responsibility as being a partner with the NHL.
Well, like, what was the one thing that was lacking, too? Okay, baseball, you have Olney and you have Passan. Football, you've got Schefter and Mort. Basketball, you got Woj Bombs. There wasn't an info person for the National Hockey League, but now you have Emily Kaplan, you have Wyshynski, and you have Kaplan giving us info like, hey, heads up, the deal was closed and expect it perhaps in October. That's great. Great.
The NHL is going to have a little resurgence here, I have a feeling. And I hope that the Sabres get it together so they can be a part of the resurgence, because nothing would make me happier to see some you know, Stanley Cup playoff games on ESPN featuring the Buffalo Sabres.
Now you're getting crazy.
No,
what are
not
you doing?
This year. No, I'm not saying this year. All I'm right. saying during the resurgence. And I think the resurgence is going to take some time. I think it's going to take a couple of years. But I love, and it's not a surprise. You shouldn't be surprised. ESPN is going to spend time on the products that they have investment in. And now the NHL is one of those products. So you will see more content on ESPN centered around the NHL. And I think it's great. I think it's great for the NHL. It's about time. Long overdue. All right, let's get to I'll Drink to That next in the sports bar. We've got some takes on tap.
Takes on tap, where we have the Brick City game. You know, we're a Rochester show. I'm going to give you a Rochester sports take. I'm going to spark a little debate here. Okay, we talk Buffalo sports all the time, but there are things in Rochester. What would you say would be the top three annual events here in our town? I got my take on that. And I also have a non-sports take today as going to the mall here. Oh boy, I'm changing my behavior. And I want to warn everybody here about what's coming up here.
Okay. There's really only one thing that needs to happen from this Washington football investigation. One thing can kind of put us all at ease and kind of make things right. And it's the one thing that I doubt is going to happen, but it's the one thing that has to happen and might need a little bit of muscle to get it done. But I'll explain. We've got I'll Drink to That on the way next. Take a quick break here and come back with some takes. And then we'll also be joined next hour by Teron Davenport, covering the Tennessee Titans for ESPN's NFL Nation. We'll get a preview of Monday night's Titans-Bills matchup here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Odyssey has sports for every fan. Keep up with your favorite teams from across the country and get the inside scoop from experts. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.